day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie! Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown again. Really happy to have you joining the program today. I really do appreciate it. So a couple of rules of engagement. The first is, anytime you're listening, or even when you're not listening, and something crosses your mind and you want to bring it to my attention, you know you can always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, send me a text message. And I read them all the time. On your message app, the number is 33103, 33103. Just use the keyword Mike or Michael. The other way to engage with the program is to follow me on social media. And the best place, most active place for that is on X, formerly Twitter, which is at Michael Brown USA, at Michael Brown USA. There's a Facebook page, too, if you're interested in that. It's at Michael D. Brown. So let's get started with, I want to talk a little bit about the climate, because something's been released that gets released every few years. And this one, I think, is a total scam. I know that's a shock to you, right? Total scam, total lie. It's called the National Climate Assessment. This is the fifth one that's been issued. Now, when Trump got elected, or actually even before he got elected, he made it clear that what he wanted to do, he wanted to dismantle a lot of the climate bureaucracy within the deep state, including something called the U.S. Global Change Research Program. That's the umbrella agency within EPA that is responsible for what's called the National Climate Assessment. Now, while predictably derided by the cabal as anti-science, the more you dig into the fifth National Climate Assessment, the more you're tempted to say, wait a minute, you're just lying to me. You're not even pretending to tell me the truth. Well, and it's not just us. Before we dig into that, let's go and think about how for the stupid among us that don't really pay attention to the facts, just kind of get sucked up into the hysteria, let's go over to CNN, where they're talking to Bill Weir, and they're really upset that Trump is saying things like this. Oops, sorry.
President Trump marked the end of his 100 days, his first 100 days of his second term, by firing hundreds of people in charge of a critical report on how climate change is affecting the country. CNN obtained an email sent last night confirming the dismissal of scientists and authors tasked with putting together the National Climate Assessment. Scientists say the report is a valuable resource for officials dealing with extreme weather events.
Now remember, it's a very important document for dealing with, extreme weather events.
At the regional, state, and local levels. Let's get more from CNN Chief Climate Correspondent Bill Weir. So, Bill, what is the goal here by eliminating these scientists?
Well, it's to eliminate the science that is the underpinning of many lawsuits. That could be a main sort of motive. We saw that in the Project 2025 lay out there, but just to set some perspective here, in 2000, Congress passed a law that every few years, the best earth scientists in the country, about 400 of them, would put together a comprehensive assessment that would inform local governments, states, even private industries about what's happening when to the country, water supplies, energy supplies, to farms and fisheries, every aspect of the economy, and let them know, just no holds barred, so we can better prepare. In 2018, it was a really blunt assessment, and with the prediction that 10% of the global economy could disappear by the end of the century as a result of an overheating earth, too much fossil fuel pollution.
How many times have we heard these kind of predictions before? I've lived through more of these false predictions than I would care to sit down and really kind of inventory. But, you know, Al Gore told us that at least 10 years ago, the world would be snow-free. We've been told that the sea level rise was going to be so bad that New York and Miami-Dade County and probably Los Angeles and San Diego would be underwater. People are still building condos and townhomes and beachfront homes and everything along the Gulf of Mexico. I'm sorry, Gulf of America. I thought money was smart. And I thought money wanted to get used by its best and highest value. Building on along the Atlantic and, you know, West Palm Beach seemed to be pretty stupid if you listen to this.
The Trump administration then buried it. They released it on Black Friday, the shopping day after Thanksgiving. I still remember this. I was in Paradise, California, covering that epic wildfire there. So
the day it was released, he buried it on a Friday, and there happened to be a weather event on that day. I haven't looked today, but I bet there's a weather event somewhere in the world today.
Nobody really paid attention. In 2023, under Biden, a new one came out. But this next one, which is supposed to come out in 2028, was just killed in a cradle. Like, they're working on it right now, and it is a law that they have to deliver something. So the fear is that they're going to just deliver pseudoscience and ideology, the kind of stuff we're seeing in all these environmental and climate-related press releases and executive orders coming out of the White House right now. But this is yet another blow, Boris, in the first 100 days of just an all-out assault on science across every agency. Anything with a hint of climate change attached to it, or even ground-level pollution, PFAS, plastics, these sorts of things. Lee Zeldin just announced they're going to tackle microplastics, these sorts, but with no real policy plan in place. Meanwhile, laying off the best and brightest earth scientists, really.
Only the best and brightest scientists work for the government? Huh. I'd say maybe we ought to follow the money on that one. Because if only the best and the brightest scientists work within the government, then who are all these scientists out here that don't work for the government? Are they just a bunch of doofuses?
In the world at a time is creating, as you can imagine, incredible angst in the space right now.
Yeah, I have real serious angst. I don't know if I can go through with this story or not. I'm so bothered by it.
Well, but at the same time, the price of oil is about $50 a barrel, which is a huge money loser for all the oil executives that Donald Trump promised to help with deregulation. So right now, everybody's hurting on the front of this story, and remains to be seen what becomes of this assessment, the people working on it, if they can do one that they release to the public, who knows. But once again, really hiding the science, telling people essentially to stay seated in a burning theater, and removing the exit signs as well.
Staying seated in a burning theater. What a way to put it up.
Staying seated in a burning theater. Oh, my gosh. It's horrible. You know, all those oil and gas executives that he's all worried about? Those oil and gas executives are looking at what happened in Spain and Portugal this week when those two countries, predominantly reliant on solar and wind, and the grid failed. And what little bit of electricity they still did have came from a little bit of coal, a little bit of natural gas, and a little bit of nuclear power. All the wind and solar collapsed. So what does this stupid climate assessment do? Well, I'd like to say good riddance to it. So as Mr. Weir points out, every 4 to 5 years, the government releases this assessment. It's a sweeping report, and ostensibly the purpose set up by Congress is to summarize the impacts of climate change on the economy, on our health, on our infrastructure, and on the environment. The latest version dropped in late 2023 with a flood of media fanfare and all sorts of dire predictions, which I know you've seen amplified across all these major news outlets within the cabal. For example, CNN had a headline that dated November 14 of 2023, "No place in the United States is safe from the climate crisis, but a new report shows where it's most severe." But have you ever wondered who writes these reports? We're told it's the best and the brightest. And who funds these people? And who's going to stand to gain if their dire predictions do come true? Or who's going to gain if people at least start to believe that these predictions are true? Now, this is funded by what I told you earlier, the U.S. Global Change Research Program. That's 14 different federal agencies. DOGE, have you looked at this yet? NASA, NOAA, the EPA, the Departments of Defense, Energy, and State. And it was established in 1990 to coordinate climate change research. But it's morphed, just like almost all government programs do. It's now morphed. And I'll tell you exactly what it's morphed into. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Don't forget to text the word Michael. Michael, send me a message at 33103. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Search for The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Hit that subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. That'll get you this program plus all 5 days of the weekday program. I'll be right back.
Oh, wow, honey, I love it. It's so beautiful and so sparkly.
Just like you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I'll wear it every day. It goes with everything.
This Mother's Day, wow, Mom, with spirit-lifting, outfit-making, express-your-love jewelry. Shop JTV.com/mom for wow-worthy and budget-friendly styles.
I'm never taking it off.
Another wow factor? Sign up for JTV Text and get $30 off. If she loves jewelry, she'll love JTV.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. Don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late.
Reading Rodeo is back in Bucking on the River, May 14th through 17th. Celebrating 77 years of nonstop rodeo action, world champion cowboys competing in the largest four-day rodeo in Northern California. Don't miss our 77th annual Redding Rodeo tradition. Get your tickets now only at reddingrodeo.com before they're gone. Redding Rodeo, where the West comes alive, May 14th through 17th.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
9.9 million Americans misuse prescription drugs, with most of the pills coming from family and friends' medicine cabinets. The National Prescription Drug Take Back Day addresses this public health and safety issue. Help us keep prescription drugs out of the hands of our young people. Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs to the Redding City Hall on Saturday, April 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, contact Chemical People at 241-5958 or chemicalpeople.org.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Be sure to follow me on X, formerly Twitter. It's at Michael Brown USA. Go do that right now. So as I said, this National Climate Assessment is funded by a department within EPA called the U.S. Global Change Research Program. And that's that itself is then a conglomeration of 14 different agencies, including NASA, NOAA, EPA, DOD, Energy, and State. And this started in 1990. But since then, it's really become entangled with, are you ready? NGOs, with activist-driven agencies. And, of course, the forecasting's really become ideologically motivated. The authors of, even though he says that the scientists, well, I guess technically when Bill Weir says that the best and the brightest are coming from the government, he may be right in this sense. The authors of this climate assessment are overwhelmingly drawn from universities, which I guess technically are government employees, NGOs, and the federally funded laboratories around the country. All of which should unsurprisingly rely heavily on climate-related grant money and policies that are aligned with all of the congregants in the Church of the Climate Activists. And that's where I think the conflict begins. And that's where we have to start questioning, is this really an objective study? So I want to focus on one thing to start with, anyway. I want to start on one single contradiction in the report, which I believe exemplifies the fundamental flaw in this report. You can pull this up. You can go to EPA, or you can just Google National Climate Assessment, and you can see the charts. I'm not going to refer to the charts since you can't see them, obviously. But I will just tell you that there is a chart that talks about the observed changes in hot and cold extremes. That chart shows this bumfuzzles me. This is in the chart. I'm just not making this up. This is why it's so important that you don't listen to BS artists like Bill Weir on CNN tell you how bad and dire this report is. You ought to read it yourself. Because in this one chart about observed changes in hot and cold extremes, that chart documents a decline. Now, for all of you who are graduates of public education, a decline is the opposite of an increase. So rather than it going up, it's going down. A decline in the number of days above 95 degrees Fahrenheit across almost the entire United States between the years 2009 and 2021. Did you get that? Now that's, just to emphasize, that's the actual observed data. So the actual observed data, where they go to different regions, like they go to the Southwest region, they go to the Northwest region, they go to what I would call the Upper West, like Montana and the Dakotas, Wyoming. They go to the Midwest South, you know, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. they go to a region that I would say is the upper Midwest, you know, everything from Minnesota down to, say, Ohio. They go to the south, which is like Kentucky, Tennessee, Louisiana, Florida. And then they go up into the northeast, you know, like Pennsylvania, New York, up in that area. So those, they look through all of those regions, and they observe. In other words, they go to where they stuck a thermometer in the butt of the earth to get a, you know, a rectal reading, and they go check it. And so this is the observed data. And the observed data shows a decline in the number of days above 95 degrees Fahrenheit. Which, by the way, if you happen to live in the Southwest, a day above 95 degrees Fahrenheit in the summertime is a day ending in Y. If you live in Florida or Georgia, and it's a day above 95 degrees, say from, I don't know, about June through into September, that's another day ending in Y. Same is true for probably Texas. Maybe not so much in the Northeast, but everywhere else, probably so. The number of days above 95 degrees has declined. But what if you keep flipping through the pages? Which is what most people don't do. It's like they just read the headline. Well, there's a headline for you. The observed data shows a decline in the number of 95 degree days. Then you flip a few pages, you get to the next chart, it projects an increase in days over 95 in the decades to come. Oh, but it also projects a substantial increase in the number of days that are going to be cold days. Now, that's not a nuance. That becomes a narrative. You go from observe to projections, and you've created a narrative out of thin air. The models behind those projections, many of which have already been shown to overstate global warming, somehow the projections are treated with more authority than the actual observations. Is your child running a fever right now? Yeah, it's like 98, almost 100 degrees. Oh, well, I project that it's going to be 102 if you don't get it treated. I have no basis for that whatsoever, other than he's running a fever right now. Give him a little Tylenol or something, you know, acetaminophen or something, and maybe bring it down, or, you know, maybe it'll, you know, his body will react and correct the temperature. The point is, the authors tried to explain away the difference between the observed data and their projected numbers by citing, well, there's regional variability and there's land use changes. Well, wait a minute. If those same factors drove down the number of hot days over the past decade, why do you dismiss them or ignore them in your forward-looking projections? Because that means either they don't matter or they do matter. Which is it? Because you can't have it both ways. You know, one of my favorite climate scientists and commentators, a guy by the name of Roger Pielke. Well, he nails it on this assessment. And I'll tell you exactly how he nails it coming up next. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text your observation, your observed data, to 33103, keyword MicroMichael. Go follow me on X at Michael Brown USA. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
What if you could unlock over $1 million in personal and business credit? That's exactly what Ray Reynolds can do for you. I'm talking about protecting your family and building your business with $100,000 in personal or business cash credit. And Ray can help you rebuild your credit score to 750. Ray Reynolds isn't just any expert. He helped the security chief of TRW that became Experian, one of the most trusted credit bureaus. If you're looking to get your finances on track, Ray is the man you should call. all for a 750 credit score. Call Ray at 800-427-5991. 800-427-5991. Join his live webinars and attend his weekly workshops to learn the insider strategies for hitting your personal and business goals. Ready for a 750 credit score and your first $100,000 in credit? Call Ray Reynolds now at 800-427-5991. That's 800-427-5991.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hello, food fans. Chef Taladie Mercurial here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
A cancer diagnosis comes with a lot of uncertainty, but where you receive your treatment should never be one of them. Many patients don't realize that they have a choice in their care. You don't have to leave Reading, and you don't have to settle for a rotating team of doctors who don't know your history. At Valor Oncology, you'll receive world-class cancer treatment with the same trusted team by your side every step of the way. Our Harvard-trained oncologist, leading female breast surgeon, and advanced technology rivaling top universities ensure that you get the best possible care right here at home. Tell your doctor you want to be referred to Valor Oncology because your treatment should be your choice. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, it's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. Appreciate you tuning in. If you want to engage with the program, a couple of ways to do it. Send me a text message on your message app. The number is 33103, 33103. Use the keyword Mike or Michael. If you engage on social media, that's pretty easy. X, or formerly Twitter, and that's at Michael Brown USA. Go give me a follow right now. So it's not just It's not just CNN that is the one that's constantly talking about how bad things are and everybody's doing this or that. No. It's the Prime Minister of the new Prime Minister of Canada who is also talking about how, oh my gosh, I'm going to, and this is so typical of liberal leaders like him. He claims that he's going to...
Climate change is an existential threat. We all recognize that. There's increasing urgency around that. But the converse of that, the flip side of that, is if you're taking steps, making investments, coming up with new technologies, changing the way you do business, all in service of reducing and eliminating that threat, you're creating value. And what we have seen increasingly, spurred initially by the Sustainable Development Goals, accelerated with Paris, and then through social movements and others and governments acting, is society is putting tremendous value on achieving net zero. So the companies and those who invest in them and lend to them who are part of the solution will be rewarded, but those who are lagging behind and are still part of the problem will be punished.
Oh. So he's going to punish companies who don't work to end climate change. Wow. That sounds pretty communist to me. How about you? Of course that's what they want to do. Back to Bill Weir again. Because he makes it even worse. Because you can't talk about how bad things are unless you do what? Blame Trump.
I do want to sort of remind our viewers about your most recent book, which focused on innovators with climate solutions. Let's end on some hope here, Bill.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. I mean, even under all of this, the experts I talk to in the clean energy sector and earth repair, the world is going that way regardless. When you look at the adaptation of thermal batteries and solar around the world, it is...
How's that solar working out in Spain and Portugal?
Exploding in huge ways. We look at the way we can rebuild cities to be fireproof in the age of wildfire storms or float communities in the age of sea level rise. This is...
Wait a minute. I don't have any problem with building a fireproof community, or you want to build a fireproof home. If I could afford to do it, I'd rebuild my home in New Mexico to be fireproof, because who knows? I mean, we've had wildfires before. It had nothing to do with climate change. Oh, yeah, it was a lightning strike. That's right. Something that's been occurring for, oh, I don't know, since Earth was created. Or if you wanted to build a flood-proof home and you live along the Gulf Coast, I'd say go for it. Not because of sea level rise, but because what's been happening since the creation? Oh, hurricanes, yeah. Or a flood-proof home along a river basin, something, you know, yeah, of course. But it always has to be in the context of climate change.
There's a place in Amsterdam we visited. It is resiliency, adaptation is now a must for communities trying to live on this hotter, more unpredictable planet.
No, resiliency and resilient building is something you do because we're always going to have Mother Nature, and you're always going to have natural disasters. So the more that you can build up against that naturally occurring phenomenon called wind, hail, floods, fires, tornadoes, whatever it might be, ice storms, you name it, blizzards, then I'd say go for it. It's like to this day, I know that we, you know, it'd be really nice in Colorado if we would learn to bury power lines. But we don't want to put out the money to do that. So, wind storms, ice storms, blizzards come through, and then we have power outages, and everybody scratches their head and goes, well, gee, I wonder why. And they blame on climate change. No. It's the middle of December and you're going to get an ice storm. Or, you know, it's the middle of summer and you're going to have a wildfire.
And there are so many exciting solutions out there which will make an entirely new class of future billionaires, because everything in the modern world is in the process of being reinvented right now. The people standing in the way are those getting rich off the status quo. And
you know what fascinates me? Is he doesn't understand the precise. He's making my point that he's trying to panic us over naturally occurring phenomenon. And as I've always said, if you've listened to me for any length of time at all in my almost 20 years on radio that I've talked about, I certainly believe, looking around the corner, that there are innovators, there are technologists, there are others who are going to come up with the next big thing that will help us be more resilient in this carbon-based natural world that we live in. There have always been droughts. There's always been hurricanes. There have always been floods. There have always been snowstorms, blizzards, ice storms. There have always been wildfires. It's just that we haven't figured out other ways to mitigate against those. And he's making my case for me. Except he wants to tell you to go do it because of climate change. I'm saying, why don't you go do it, because it's probably good business.
And the folks in power helping them right now. But below the surface, there's this sort of invisible industrial revolution that's happening right now. There's a lot of worry in that sector because so many of the grants and incentives that were built into the Inflation Reduction Act, which led to it.
Oh, they're worried because their government-funded, taxpayer-paid scam is finally being eliminated. So if you want to go innovate, I mean, did Thomas Edison need a government grant to go invent the light bulb? Did Henry Ford need a government grant to go invent, you know, the assembly line? No. Innovative. Did someone need a government grant to invent? I just was looking up here at the monitor in front of me. There's a new version of Chrome, the browser up. Did Google need a government grant to reinvent Chrome? Did Steve Jobs need a government grant to, you know, invent the iPhone? Remember the old iPod? No. Those are innovators, what he's talking about. And you can do a lot of that, if not all of it, because we have in the past, without government money. But they become addicted on government money.
Huge manufacturing boom are in the balance. And nobody knows for sure what comes next. But blue states, blue cities, leaders in those places, as they did during the first Trump administration, are vowing to keep the climate momentum going. And it just makes economic sense. There's a big solar company here in the United States that just got something like $500 million in foreign investment, regardless of the Trump stuff, because the momentum is there. There was a certain point when humanity wasn't going back to riding horses. We're past the point we're not going back to internal combustion in this next generation. And it's not just health and wealth, but it's also prosperity. China now is loving that they've been given the post-carbon economy. We'll see what happens next.
Yeah, we will see what happens next. And it's not going to be dependent upon government money. So back to Roger Pilkey, whose work on the politicization of climate science is for anybody essential reading. He exposed the contradiction in a piece called Original Sin. And in that article, he notes that this fifth National Climate Assessment commits the same methodological error as its predecessors. They use worst-case emissions scenarios to create maximum impact headlines and then quietly admit elsewhere that those scenarios are increasingly implausible. So together, the critiques converge on the same point. What I'm saying and what he's saying. This assessment's core conclusions are actually more the result of modeling assumptions than measuring reality. And those assumptions happen to align perfectly with the political goals of the institutions that are funding and writing the report, and of those who are receiving the funding and writing the report. Now, if that sounds bad, it really is. But the real eye-opener is who these authors are, where their funding comes from, how deeply embedded they are in the machinery built to profit from the climate fear. According to the assessment, more than 500 individuals contributed to this report. Authors, technical contributors, people that were agency liaisons, advisory committees with the government. As I said, it's under the oversight of the Subcommittee on Global Change Research in the EPA. The entire structure is funded with taxpayer money, and the entire structure is designed to maintain institutional continuity, which means reinforcing the same alarmist narratives that justify your agency's expansion, that justifies research grants, that justifies regulatory interventions. Now, it tries to present itself as a scientific document, but it's actually more of a political roadmap, coordinated by all these agencies with billions of dollars from your pockets in annual climate-related budgets, and then they staff those agencies with individuals whose careers are tied to the perpetuation of the climate urgency. It's a big, giant grift that they've got going on. And I want to name some of the names that are involved in this. Most of them don't mean anything to me, but their organizations do. And then you'll suddenly realize, oh, it is a grift. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to this number on your message app, 33103. Do me a favor, go follow me on X, formerly Twitter, at Michael Brown USA. I'll be right back.
Wow, honey, I love it. It's so beautiful and so sparkly.
Just like you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I'll wear it every day. It goes with everything.
This Mother's Day, wow, Mom, with spirit-lifting, outfit-making, express-your-love jewelry. Shop JTV.com/mom for wow-worthy and budget-friendly styles.
I'm never taking it off.
Another wow factor? Sign up for JTV Text and get $30 off. If she loves jewelry, she'll love JTV.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. Don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., tribal chairman for Redding Rancheria. We proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night, opening on May 14th at 7 o'clock p.m. at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope. That's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Reading Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Reading Bike Park. We just want to thank the Reading Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal DiMercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The Department of Commerce, NOAA, Department of Defense, Department of Energy, HHS, they're academic contributors. University of Washington, Andrew Jorgensen of Boston College, he's a sociologist by training. And he often prioritizes ideology over, you know, actual climatology. Then there are these people that represent the regional teams that are almost all from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or university-based researchers that specialize in climate and adaptation planning. It's a who's who of all being federally funded climate professionals that are ideologically aligned academics. And their work not only reflects their institution's agendas, but often serves as the very justification for expanding their authority and expanding their budgets. So the people that write the report are the same ones that benefit from the conclusions. How do they benefit? You and I have funded more than $50 billion into climate-related science and programs just over the past 10 years. Reuters reports that the U.S. government will spend more than $500 billion on climate technology and clean energy over the next decade. Now, where does that money go? Almost all of that money gets channeled through grants. And those grants are tied directly to the type of projections that you find in the National Climate Assessment. So it becomes a grift, a feedback loop, if you will. Because the grimmer they can make the outlook, the greater they can make the alarmism, then the more money that they think is going to flow back to them. And, of course, it flows right back into the very people who have predicted, you know, that the world's going to fall apart, the world's going to blow up, the world's going to go hell in a handbasket. So give me some money so I can go study it and so I can go develop some new technology. If you're that worried about it, why don't you go find your own money? You know, as Bill Weir pointed out, there were foreign investors into a solar company in the United States. Well, that proves to me that you can find private money, assuming it wasn't some sovereign fund from Qatar or the UAE or somewhere. Then that proves to me that there are investors around the world who are willing to put their money into, if I knew of a really good startup company that was developing new battery technology that showed promise, that might be a worthwhile investment. Yeah. But otherwise, go find it on your own. You know, this failed prediction I told you about at the very beginning. So the number of days in this assessment, the very first figure they tell you is that the number of days above 95 degrees has declined over the past decade. But then they do projections that show there's going to be an increase over the next decade in number of days over 95. Now, they contribute the decline, interestingly, to land use, weather changes, population moves, everything that you can possibly imagine. Well, if All of those things are in place now, and they're going to be in place in the future. Then wouldn't the decline continue? Because they never show you any causation or correlation to show that those things are going to now result in the projected increases, because they obviously can't show you any actual increases, because, well, that's in the future. So they have to use computer models. So garbage in, garbage out. But they failed these predictions in the past. It's not new. The very first national assessment that was done back in the year 2000 said that we would have significant increases in U.S. heat wave frequency by 2020, 5 years ago. But yet you go to data from NOAA. It shows that the heat wave frequency and the heat wave severity have remained stable in most regions around the world. Wait a minute. I thought it was going to get worse. And in fact, if you look at the chart that I'm looking at right now, the heat wave index, there was a spike. You know when that spike was? Between 1935 and 1939. Oh, yeah, the Dust Bowl. Yes. And then you look from 1940 all the way through 2020. Oh, it's just tiny little spikes up and down. But if you drew a trend line, the trend line would be flat line. That's from the 2020 report. I mean, from the 2000 report. Let's go to the second report they did in 2009. They told that crop yields would decline by 2020, 5 years ago, because of climate stress. But then you look at the actual yields for some commodities like corn or soybeans and wheat. They've reached record high multiple times in the past decade. In fact, the trend line, starting in 1960 all the way through 2020 and continuing, the trend line for crop yields has been increasing. Huh. Let's go to 2014. They told us in the third assessment that, oh my gosh, hurricanes are going to become stronger and more frequent. But even now, the United Nations IPCC acknowledges that, well, there really is no long-term trend in global hurricane frequency, and we can't establish one. So despite all these errors, they continue to use it as alarmism, just as CNN was doing, so that the uninformed, the useful idiots among us would hear the CNN story, hear about, oh, did you hear about this climate assessment? Oh, my gosh, it's going to get hotter and hotter, and it's going to get horrible. We got to start doing stuff. We need to start spending more money. We need to spend more and more money on it. It's absurd. It really is absurd. Don't fall for the hysteria from the Church of the Climate Activists. They're singing the Hallelujah Chorus, and it's hollow. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody have a great weekend. I'll see you next weekend.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Israel is still under attack. Missile fire has resumed from Houthis, Hezbollah, and Hamas, enemies seeking Israel's destruction. Here in America, we cannot imagine living under constant threat of terrorism and rocket attacks. This is the reality in Israel. Parents taking their children to school falling to the ground to lay on top of their small children, trying to comfort them as sirens blare. The next attack against Israel is happening now, with little time to prepare, so we must act now. That's why I'm partnering with the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to help provide life-saving aid and security essentials. Your urgently needed gift today will help provide security essentials like bomb shelters, flak jackets and bulletproof vests for first responders, armored security vehicles, ambulances, and more. Join me in standing with Israel. Call to make your gift at 888-488-IFCJ. That's 888-488-4325. Or online at supportifcj.org to give. One word, supportifcj.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.